Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, November the 19th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. And she got an awesome voice.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. You do. You should be a radio announcer.
I think I am.
That's right, you are. You know, how do you like that? What was that? Well, anyway, we're just delighted. We've got a beautiful sunny day here in Bristol, Tennessee. It's cold but sunny. And day by day, we're getting closer to being in warm weather as we head south. We've actually got one last workshop here in Bristol, Tennessee tonight. If you happen to be in the Bristol area, we're kind of in an unusual location. We're at a Kroger store. Kroger grocery store has a meeting room in it, and the medical doctor and his wife, who are sponsoring the workshops, have an office right across the road, and their meeting space wasn't large enough, so we've invaded Kroger for the last two nights, and tonight is our last night. And so we're going to do codependence to interdependence. We invite you to come and join us if you feel inclined to do that. And beyond that, we will be heading, the 30th of the month, the 30th of November. We'll start a Sunday service at Unity in Wilmington, North Carolina. Sunday afternoon, we'll do a free Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all free workshops. And then Saturday, there is one paid workshop that we do, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. We'll do that Saturday of that week. And then actually, we're going to do, it's kind of unusual for us, we're going to speak again the next Sunday at Unity Wilmington. And then we head on to Panama City and Tampa, Unity North in Tampa, or in St. Petersburg, Unity of St. Petersburg. So we're on it. Then we'll be heading to the east coast of Florida, wending our way up the east coast until we conclude the Florida tour with a 20-day intensive. A 20-day teacher training will happen in April. And actually, there are going to be four intensives in one. Jeannie and I will be doing concurrent 9-day intensives. I'll do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And Jeannie, at the same time, will be doing her Healing the Whole Woman workshop. And Jeannie, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that when I'm complete here. And then we'll go into teacher training, which this year, for the first time, is going to include 3 days of training on using the personal code evaluation, which we now fortunately have online, so we can make it available to teachers to work more closely with the population that they're working with, folks who they're directing in their spiritual work and their forgiveness work. They'll be able to pinpoint and give those folks feedback. If you feel inclined, if you're one who's ready to teach this work, or actually teacher training is not just about teaching the work. We have many people who attend who just really want to deepen their understanding of the forgiveness process. So the 12 days of teacher training, 3 days will be spent on the personal code evaluation, understanding it, interpreting it, how to use it with folks. And then the 9-day teacher training will totally focus on the principles of why is this happening to me again. We've got a beautiful hotel, the Heritage Inn, Heritage Park Inn, I believe it is, in Orlando, is where we'll be doing that intensive in April. So come and join us. Come and play. Lots of exciting things happening with the work. And we are moving things forward. It's just as quickly as and as rapidly as we can on a global scale. Interesting to hear from all the folks that are picking up the tools, using them, passing them on to others, and the shifts and changes happening in their own lives. It's just pretty awesome. And Jeannie's mom has actually attended the last two nights of workshops, and she attended Jeannie's workshops since she was here, and it's kind of sounding like she might just be there to do that whole woman intensive, and if she is, then we're hoping that Dad will be there to do the Y intensive, so it'll be pretty interesting. Beyond that, the work of forgiveness is what we're all about, and not in any way, shape, or form forgiveness in the traditional sense. In fact, many people are shocked when I say, please, please, please never forgive anyone for anything. And people are like, well, what do you mean? I thought your work was about forgiveness. Yes, that's exactly what this work is about. And if you're forgiving someone for something, the culture has lied to you. Forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people or yourself off the hook because of something that's been done. That's the act of pardoning. And it's interesting, Vladimir Lenin says, if you want to destroy a culture, change the meaning of its words. I believe the most destructive word change that has ever happened on planet Earth is we had forgiveness changed to pardoning. In the first century, the Aramaic language, forgiveness was a tool of removal. If I'm in pain, if I'm in fear, rage, grief, guilt, hostility, whatever it is, then there's an energy in me that if I apply forgiveness, I will remove that energy and be free of that virus, so to speak. And what happened with first century forgiveness is it was turned into pardoning. You did something terrible, but it's okay. I'll let you off the hook. I'll forgive you, which has nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. And so we're inviting everyone to make a shift in their minds and redefine forgiveness as it was originally meant to be, or I should say define it as it was originally meant to be, the tool for changing the content of your own mind, removing what never belonged. Pardon people if you will. That's a nice thing to do. You let somebody off the hook, cool. But then forgiveness is a whole different dynamic. And you'll notice that all of the world is in a game where everything outside of them is the cause of what's happening inside of them. You just listen everywhere you turn. How does that make you feel? And when we believe that something outside of us causes us to feel, then of course we believe that something outside of us has to change in order for us to feel better. And that's a total lie. If you are feeling something, it's because there's an energy moving in you that doesn't belong to you. If you're feeling something of a disturbing nature, of a traumatic nature, there's an energy moving in you that never belongs in you. Forgiveness is how you remove what never belonged and return to your original state. What's the original state of a human being? Well, the state of every human being is the same. We're all started out in exactly the same way, and if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is this awesome active presence of love that we are designed to live in and to live as. And so we're delighted that you're here to join us in the process, and we're just honored to be able to be here to support anyone and everyone on the globe who chooses to engage in this forgiveness process, and we appreciate your participation. In the meantime, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and he's on.
Well, why don't we have Jeannie
awesome.
Tell us
well, young man, well, I look forward to hearing the report on how the support group went last night.
Well, let's first hear Jeannie talk about her workshop she's going to be doing.
Yes. Thank you for taking me back there. I've moved forward.
That's okay. First of all, I mentioned this the other day, I was able to trademark the title Healing the Whole Woman, so that was kind of exciting. And I was encouraged yesterday to go out and try to get the or not try, but to go out and get the same title for a website. I haven't done that yet, but anyway, for the intensive, last year I did a four-day in Pompano Beach and had 15 women for 4 days, and it was kind of the consensus that they wanted to do longer, and then Michael's been encouraging me to do that, and it was like there was nowhere in their schedule, and that's my own, I would say fault, but my own doing, is that our schedule from December to May is practically back-to-back with not a whole lot of time in between. And so I was like, there's not 9 days to stick in there anywhere. And so then he came up with, well, why don't you do the 9-day women the same time I'm doing the 9-day why? And so I'm covering the enough of the same material that anyone doing the 9-day women is also eligible then to do the teacher's training following. And so that was kind of working all that together. Plus, I do a lot of things that are more geared towards women and teach a little bit differently than Michael does, but it's the same, you know, why is this happening to me again, forgiveness, and cover codependence and power person and purpose, and we'll do the energy work and healing through relationships and power to heal, and we'll do the still point breathing. And so all of that is, you know, it may be in a little bit different format than what is normally done in a 9-day, but it will be directed more towards women. And staying at the same facility, that's going to work out pretty cool because we actually have some couples that are planning on coming, but the women are going to attend the women's workshop while the men attend the 9-day Y. And like I said, we're hoping that my mom and dad will be one of those couples. And my mom seems open to it, and she said she'd talk to dad. And they're already going to be there in Orlando, so it's going to be perfect for them to come across and do that. But we will... The young lady who's running the hotel, and she's been doing this work for a long time, and she incorporates this work into what she does. Her name's Sarah, and she's going to be taking care of the food for us, and so we're going to join the two groups for our meals. We've got the schedules and everything timed out so that we will eat together. And so that's going to work out pretty good. It's going to be different. And so I'm anxious to see how that all turns out. And because it's in a 100-room hotel, we're not limited like we are at Heartland to 30 people. So we're hoping to see it get really full. And so we're excited to see how that's going to come about. And then I was talking in the chat room, so I may have missed it. Did you mention the 3-day module for the personal code evaluation? Michael? Hello?
Mute challenge. Well, yeah, for 3 days.
There you are.
The personal code. Go ahead.
So that's all that I've got.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome to run those workshops concurrently. That'll be very cool. So, Dr. Kim, how do you be, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And it's exciting to hear that. Are you there?
I am, yes, sir.
It's exciting to hear that you're going to be both doing these concurrent workshops and might have some overlap, and certainly the energy will be moving very differently. So that's exciting. And it's been, I don't know, has it been 8, 9, 10 years since I first met Jeannie? And it's just fabulous to see her stepping into her skill with more confidence as a presenter and a coach and a healer. So
yay.
Congratulations on that, Jeannie. And
thank you.
So that's wonderful. And then we had our support group last night. We had the group in Woodstock hadn't seen the whole Mayan calendar video, so I watched the first half of them with that last week, and then this, or the first part, and then this week I was going to do 1 hour, and they said, no, just keep going, we need to see the end. So that's how much interest it engendered, that they were very taken with the idea of his talk and building an awareness of consciousness outside of just the physical realm. And in the third hour of that lecture, which was given in 2004, near the end of it, Ian does his best to try and predict where things are going to go. And so I cut it off because, you know, he was at 2005, 2007, and he was making predictions about things that hadn't yet fully developed. And I just made the point that his whole message in that lecture about the Mayan calendar was not about predicting the future. It was about us stepping into our power and different levels of power so that we can co-create a different future. And so regardless of what's happening, if we like it or don't like it, if we step into an awareness of our part in creating it, we can change our lives in the moment and moving forward. So that was, I interrupted it and gave people, because there were a couple people that seemed like they might have issues up in the day and they might want to do a worksheet. And I gave several opportunities to do the worksheet. But the questions about, well, what did he mean by this? And what does this mean? And how can we tap into these energies? Took up the whole rest of the evening. And several people looked at their their personal energy and intent from the day they were born and their sun sign of the divine plan. And there was a discussion about how well those descriptors hit the people in the group and how they had either stepped into their power or stepped away from their power. And pretty much either the good things that the horoscope or that codex, he calls it, said would happen have already happened for those people, and the not so good things that they warn of. If you have these powers and you misuse them, or you have these powers and you deny them, then your life will look like this. And there were lots of groans and laughs around the table as people looked at the accuracy of the predictions from, okay, if you step into your power, you get this benefit and that benefit, and if you deny your power or you misuse it, this happens. So that was last night. It was a very loving group, and they were very excited about the integrating that material. And again, we spent a lot of time talking about how Ian's presentation is so similar to Michael's lecture on going unconscious, having an unconscious pain, trying to live from the 9-bit mind versus the intuition. He calls it the intuition. And he talks about how the goal has to be to live more from intuition rather than the carbon-based memory. He calls it mind. And he says the mind at that physical level can only process 24 thoughts in a second, whereas intuition or consciousness is capable of 5 billion or 50 billion, we don't know. And then he said, how can we tell if we're coming from intuition or if this impulse we're having or this thought we're having about, geez, I ought to go do that or invest in this or turn left here, how can we tell if it's intuition or just the mind chattering at us? And he said, here's how you tell. When it's intuition, there will never be fear. There will never be anger. There will be a calm, and you will be centered, and you will be focused. So we played through all of the similarities between your work and gave people a chance to look at the very same concepts from a slightly different angle, and I saw light bulbs going off for lots of people, and I was very, 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 very pleased that I was able to be there.
Fabulous. It sounds like perhaps the next step might be to do the purpose, personal power, and commitment. If you haven't done that recently, it would kind of fit right in and carry the theme forward of people now really seriously in the context of what Ian's presenting, look at and redo, rewire their purpose and see what they come up with. That would probably be a cool next step if it happens to fit.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, we've been talking about all of those basic concepts, but I think I'll take you up on that and offer that to the Thursday group and then again next Tuesday. Because essentially having an awareness of my primary purpose and a well-defined secondary purpose and using those to guide my choices every day is the process that he's talking about that the Mayans had, because every day they got up, they knew their personal intent because it was named by their first name, and they took a look at these two calendars and the interaction of the divine plan and the interaction of the personal intent for the day, and that's what they focused on as they moved through their day. So, excellent idea. Thank you.
It's pretty exciting from where I sit. You know, I go back, and the first workshop that I did in this series was actually originally called The Miracle of Forgiveness. Didn't go very far, but it was actually a singles magazine in Fort Lauderdale that asked if I would write an article for them. And the way that I write, I rewrite, and then I rewrite. And I'm sitting at the kitchen table working on this article, and I start reading it from the top again, and the opening of the article is, "Why is this happening to me again? Are all people the same?" And it was like, bingo, oh, that's the title of that workshop. And so that became the title, and it was really the focus and the only workshop that I did. And now over 45 years, 36 or 37 since I first did that Why Is This Happening to Me Again, each of the other workshops has grown out of that original workshop. And, you know, as it expanded out and moved into another piece, you know, if I'm going to do forgiveness work, how do I determine what I need to forgive? Well, I better know who I am and what my purpose is, so that things that are unlike that, I can start to chuck and get rid of. And what does it mean to be a creator? Well, let's look into On Creating Consciously. Well, what's the disease and the healing process look like? Well, it's all an energy process. Let's look at, let's do Empowered to Heal. And, you know, each workshop basically developed and broke out of that. Actually, the audio track of communication, did you hear what I think I said, still contains, the four-hour audio track still contains the workshop. It was before I broke them apart into two separate workshops before they developed in different directions. But the audio track actually starts out with the circle of life and how to play it, and then moves into the communication tool. So, and then those two are two separate DVDs. So it's been interesting over the years to just watch the guidance as I'm being taught and directed as to how to put it together in a way that just fits and makes sense for folks. A pretty awesome privilege to play on this level with people around the globe. So, Dr. Tim, anything else to share with us today before we check on the phone lines and the chat room?
That it feels complete for me. I think I heard Jeannie trying to start to say something.
Well, let's see what the young lady has for us. Hey, sweetie.
Well, I was actually about to tell you that you just disappeared and were muffled, but before I could even say anything, you came back clear. So I don't know what happened there.
Cell phones. What can
anyway.
You say?
Yeah, for sure. So 646-200-4169 and press 1. Nobody has their hand up, so if you press 1, you'll be first in line.
And our purpose is to create support for a truly holistic understanding of who we are, how we operate, and what this process of healing looks like. You know, the world basically talks about treatment as healing, and, you know, they call the taking of a pill healthcare, when in truth, pills have very little to do with healthcare. In fact, they're mostly focused on disease care and the amelioration of or the suppressing of symptoms. If you look at research and all the appeals to take money from your pocket and put it into some sort of a research facility's pocket, usually pharmaceutical, you'll find that there's not one of those researchers that has any interest whatsoever. At least if they did, they wouldn't get much research money. They wouldn't last long if they actually researched what the cause is and how to deal with the cause of these disorders that are rampant in our world. What you're funding with your research dollars has nothing to do with healthcare. It's got to do with disease care, and that is, how do we get rid of these symptoms so things look better? And it doesn't matter how many so-called side effects. Of course, a side effect isn't a side effect, it's a disease. Doesn't matter how many diseases are caused, oftentimes worse than the one being treated, if we can just find the treatment that makes these symptoms better, then we'll consider ourselves successful. And our invitation is to start to look at what are the energy dynamics that you engage in your life that create disorder and disease within you? And what do you need to forgive from your physiology, from your mind, from your emotions, out of your own life or out of your generational patterns in order to be free of those disease processes, to really, truly heal? And while treatment can be very helpful and very powerful, treatment isn't healing. Treatment is the amelioration of symptoms. And so what we're looking to do is to add healing to the treatment game. And so as people offer actual healing and an understanding of cause, rather than just trying to treat and deal with effects, then people tend to move forward in a much more empowered way. And so that's what we're here to do. And each of the tools that we've developed is about how to engage in that process of really, truly looking into what's the energy that I hold that creates this disorder in my big toe or in my eye or wherever it is, and what do I need to remove? What do I need to forgive that's creating that interfering energy? And as I remove it, lo and behold, tissue restructures itself. Healing happens. Relationships restructure themselves. You know, a young woman at a workshop the other night was having a lot of challenges with her son, and worked through a worksheet and was sure that the way she treated her son had nothing to do with her early childhood. When she began, I offered, well, you know, there's a power person dynamic, and so very likely you're just playing that, oh, no, there's none of that involved. And then at the end of the worksheet, it always just amazes me when people get in there and cancel that goal. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, this is exactly how I was treated as a kid. Ah. And that discovery that happens when you actually engage in the process of forgiveness. And basically what forgiveness does is forgiveness collapses the output of the mind that keeps us distracted and thinking that the problem's outside of us. When the output of the mind is collapsed, then there's the ability to go directly to the root of what's going on the inside. And when we're in direct relationship with what's going on the inside, it's our choice to change it if we so choose, rather than be stuck in the dynamic of the past. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring forward into the world. And, of course, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If there's anything about the process that doesn't make sense to you, anything you'd like to ask, we're here to support you. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm going to be on the radio. My voice will be shaky. I don't know if I can do that. And it's like, well, I just invite you to take a breath and let go of the shaky voice and or make it okay for your voice to be shaky. That's perfectly fine. So what? Who cares? But get your question in there. And as you do, your question will serve the whole community because you're not the only person who's thinking it or wanting to ask it. And so if you push one, there'll be a little hand that will go up in the control panel, and Jeannie will know you want to talk to us, and she'll introduce you by your area code.
We do have a hand
up. So if you go, great, let's say hello.
517, is this Rex?
This is Rex. Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael.
Hey there, good sir. Good to hear your voice.
It's wonderful to hear your voice as well. I've been busy and haven't been on the program for a couple of days here. If Tim's on the program, hi, Tim, and hi, everyone else. I just got off the phone with Chaplain White at the prison. I had had difficulty getting through to him, and I finally was able to reach him. And I talked to him about why they had entered the program. So I thought, well, I had a few minutes. My son's on his way over to pick me up. We're going to do some work at his house. But I did want to just check in and give that information. So, you know, you had asked, Michael, and I've had a number of people ask me, well, what happened? Why did it stop? So if it's appropriate, I'll do that now.
Please, I'd love to hear more about it. I actually just got a letter this morning from one of the inmates asking for support and wanting to continue with the work.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'd love to have, you know, any information from that or copy or whatever. Well, here's what happened. They are doing repairs, some major repairs on the roof, one thing. They had five prison guards that they were taking out of rotation, so there were five guards short. They cut our program. They were just looking at the days that they, you know, they're required by law to have all of the religions represented. That's one, I guess, the way a chaplain described it to me. So that would be the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Catholic, or the Christian, and, you know, I think Catholic has its own, you know, delegation or whatever it's called. And so all of those were classes that they weren't able to end. And so they ended our class, and they ended another class that's been going for quite some time. And the chaplain, I said, well, chaplain, I just wanted to know if there was something we did or is there something happened? He goes, oh, absolutely not. He said, your program was ended because he tried to actually, I didn't realize it, but he was working in the background along with the new captain to change the days to try to make it all work. Well, then it still didn't work, and evidently it was all due to having difficulty keeping the, you know, the chapel open every day all week and having a guard in there to protect us or to keep, you know, with the inmate and a volunteer. And the way he explained it, he said it was just, you know, he didn't know other than that information. That's all he knew what they were having trouble with. And the skipper just, the warden just calls it. His name's Warden Skipper. He just says, this is it. We're done. And that's what happens. And so our program got deleted and another program got deleted. And at least partially, they cut it in half. And they're coming every other week now. I was glad there wasn't anything we did that might disrupt the potential of someone like ourselves going in there again or ourselves going in again to start to work back up again. So that was a good thing. And then it was left with, if I wanted to find out if that is a possibility for the future, is just to give the warden a call. So I'll be doing that as well. So it was just a timing thing that happened. They did their best to make it so that they felt the prisoners were safe. The other piece that comes into mind that he said, there had been and continue to be a lot of fighting, especially on level 4, and they needed to take the prison guards that were being used in our facility to directly supervise the prisoners that were being disruptive, which is so ironic because the reason I would suggest they're being disruptive because they don't have any tools to deal with all the crap they've got going on inside them. You know, so that's kind of the update on what's happening with that.
Well, glad to have that. And interesting that I just happened to get that letter today asking for support. So it's good, good. And I'll share
it
with you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yes, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I find that interesting because I was just getting ready to take off here, and I think I'll try to call the chaplain again. So I called him, and first time I didn't get through, and then I tried another number, and I finally got through to him. And it's interesting because there was a dynamic, and Michael, you're aware of this, and the people that are close to me are aware of this. I've had a pattern in the past that I perceived my father telling me I do things wrong, so that I developed an idea system and a belief that I did things wrong. And it's that whole area where I would try to do things right to compensate for probably going to end up doing things wrong. So that had come up in a very big level this summer after the doing the intensive with you and, you know, co-teaching the Laws of Living intensive. And then it had started to surface even deeper levels. And I thought, well, this is odd. I really felt clear on this piece. It's one of those numbers. And then when you came up and we did all those workshops and just teaching my workshops, and boy, just everything just escalated and it came to a real head. And part of my reason for not following up, because I had an anxiety about that they were going to tell me I did something wrong. And it's directly related to why in the past I sent this message out, and there's my son here, so I'm going to have to be leaving, I apologize. But I sent out a message that was, without being aware of it, don't give me feedback because I don't want to know what I'm doing wrong. And over the years, I've gradually really resolved a lot of that in me, so I started getting feedback. And you know what? Quite frankly, it isn't always fun to get the feedback to look at my unconscious crap. So it just as an input, you know, from my perspective, what I'm realizing is the love of truth, I'm sure, is increasing more and more. That's what it seems like. And I'm getting more honest feedback about my errors in thinking and some of the things that I do around those errors in thinking. And I am just continuing to grow and learn, and I can see where it influences how people respond to me and how I might respond to them. And I'm excited about the new levels of awareness. And then also excited, I'm switching gears very quickly, the Realization of the Christ Within is a workshop Dale Allen Hoffman is doing here tomorrow night in Lansing. So I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. And I probably have about a minute at most, Michael, for any input that you may want to give. I apologize for being so abrupt.
Oh, I'm just delighted that there's at least a conversation continuing, and we hold the space that when it's appropriate, the door opens again and things just move to the next level. I think it's an awesome contribution to the world on the part of the prisoners and on your and Michelle's part and everybody else who participated with you in supporting that. It's definitely it's opened the door, and I hold the space that it will continue and open the door at the next level.
And, Michael, if you would consider, if it's a part, I apologize, I wasn't early on the program, so I called in right when I called in when I freed up. And if it's in line with what you've been talking about, maybe discuss the whole idea of, you know, how that conditioning came into play with a lot of us, that this is right and that's wrong, and, you know, that I know I developed, and I found that to be accurate with a lot of people, the idea that I've got to do it right, or this is right, this is wrong. Maybe discuss that a little bit, and then I'll tune into the program later on and listen to it, and I'll see if there was any other gems that I may pick up.
Awesome. We'll do it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister.
Okay, we appreciate you. Give Mitzi a hug for us.
Certainly will. Okay, have a good one.
And Josh too. Tell him we said hello.
I will. Yes, thank you. Bye now.
And we have another hand up.
Well, let's just throw out a thought or two around Rex's request on this idea of having to do it right. And, you know, there are so many messages that come to the child that, though the message may not actually say you've done it wrong, the look, the tone of voice, the energy involved from the adult toward the child conveys a message that the child then turns into self-deprecation. And I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, and, you know, and wondering who we really are. You know, if from day one we experienced ourselves as love, as who we are, and we experienced our birthright, everyone else experiencing themselves as who they are, then there would be no question. There would be no second thoughts as to, am I good enough? Am I doing it right? What's wrong with me? No matter what I do, I always do it wrong. I have to be perfect. There would be none of that. If we'd simply been told the truth from the beginning, you are the offspring of love. You are the active presence of love. Boy, that's the end of the story. It was interesting. Last night we had a young lady at the workshop, and she was talking about her religious upbringing and how as a child she was told this biblical story about, you know, the judgment's going to happen and the goats are going to be, you know, separated from the sheep. And it was interesting, this young lady was probably in her 70s as she shared with us her trauma and her memory of being told that story as a little kid, you know, and here she is, you know, 60 some years later, and she's still traumatized about, well, you know, I could never get an answer. I asked my mother, am I a goat or am I a sheep? Am I going to get approval or am I going to be hustled off to this eternal hellfire? And a little kid having to ask themselves that question is insane when we recognize who we are as human beings. Again, hold a newborn child. And yet the fear that that engenders, and a whole lifelong, there's another young lady there whose father, and it's been a major trauma in her life. Her father passed away not too long ago, and her father had been a preacher for 30 years. And she shared, you know, that her father lived one of the most upright lives that she had ever seen. And yet after he passed, after having lived this truly upright life, she and her mother would have discussions about, oh, I wonder if Dad was good enough to get into heaven. And how bizarre and insane it is that such a question would be asked of a human being who's affirmed as a human being. And if we could just start out, if we started our children out as, guess who you are? You are the awesome presence of love. Guess who I am? I am the awesome presence of love. If I do something that's unloving, how about supporting me and healing it? And if you do something that's unloving, I'll support you in healing it. Let's move through and really experience and express our lives as we're designed to do. But this whole seed of doubt is planted in the child's mind, and it's a totally illogical, irrational seed to plant in a child. Teach a child who they are, support them living as love, and there'll never be any question. But give a child this doubt, these messages of insanity and fear, and, you know, there's something to be in trepidation about, and maybe you're really not good enough. Maybe you're kidding yourself. It's like, what's wrong? It's time for us to recognize who we are, and especially to affirm our children as who they are their whole lives long. So, Jeannie, let's say hello to our caller.
Okay. It's area code 541. You're on the air.
Hello there. This is Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I do have a quick little question about the work that Rex is doing with the inmates and how you got a letter asking for support, and I wondered, do they get to use any of the online ways of accessing you or even listening to the radio show?
No, unfortunately, they don't have access to that.
Okay.
We tried to set it up so they would have access, but, you know, the game is pretty bizarre.
Yeah. And but even if we were writing letters back and forth, well, it's not meeting the immediate need, but it would, you know, maybe some sort of written correspondence would at least, do they get that? Can they keep anything like that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You can write to them. Mm-hmm.
Then they could reread it. Well, it's all evolving, and we are very supportive of their consciousness. I've really appreciated hearing about that work as Rex and Michelle have been doing it, and I know you were doing it too. So, we're all in prison at some level. I know I experienced that, and that's what I do a lot of worksheets on. So, anyway, I hope that my work will open up new avenues for them. So, speaking of my work, I'm doing a lot better. And I'm doing love exchange with my all of my disintegrative energies that have manifested as clutter and overwhelm for me. And it's really wonderful. And even just today, I was remembering that love is the highest intelligence, highest organizing energy. It defies entropy. And I think you call it ectopy.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Yeah. And so that felt good. In fact, it's kind of like it took over last night. I was just sitting before going to bed looking at my next day's schedule. And I actually, I have in my schedule, you know, these iPhones, they have a way that you do your calendar. And I've not felt as integrated with the visual calendar. I lose track of things sometimes and have been wanting to go back to a written calendar, which I will do both. But I suddenly organized my electronic calendar so that it wasn't controlling me. And I have some affirmations I put in that come up daily for me as reminders. And one of them is to do worksheets. And I'm calling them integrity worksheets because it's about me reweaving my integrity into my life. And so I opened a field that's about 6 hours wide to cover the whole day. And inside that field, I started thinking of it as a field. I put all the things that worksheets could be done on first before I actually do the task, because I was resisting the tasks and not getting them done, or going through a lot of, you know, energy resonances with regard to them. I think that's working. And also, it allows me to do that exercise of achieving the goal or canceling the goal without any guilt or shame. When I do a worksheet on it, I've already canceled it. And then if I achieve it, then it's off the calendar and I move a few other things into place. I don't know if this makes sense, but for some reason it's just like, oh, I can use this as a tool, kind of like I can use my mind as a tool, like I can design my life instead of being, the effect of the unconscious dictates that I received early in life. So anyway, Michael, thank you, and thank you, Jeannie, for the work that you're focusing on for women. I haven't participated, but I received the generosity, you know, that it's already coming forth from you. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael,
I might just offer that you might want to just take a look, because as you talk about getting those things done, you talk about, you know, doing it without any guilt or fear. You might want to do a few worksheets around guilt or fear and see if there's still something lurking under the surface. The fact that those are the words that you use, as opposed to, oh, I just do it with total confidence and it's all cool, that your mind shoots up some other thoughts might indicate that under the surface, around that idea of organizing your life, and you might look at, you know, where you got messages about how you organize your life, and see if there were messages of guilt and fear that you could be uprooting and throwing out, so you take things to still the next level of success, that consciously creating designer stresses, purposely, consciously doing that so that you have a designer life. It's awesome.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's good. You know, when you say do some worksheets around guilt or fear, so then the 1A would be around organizing my life, basically, something like that.
Well, that was the topic of conversation, so that would probably be where you would do those worksheets, yeah.
And then the goal that would be underlying all that. Okay. Okay. Thank
cool.
you. It comes up anyway all the time. Pardon?
I say we'll look forward to the next time we get to see you face to face.
Oh, I know. I look forward to that too. That's a goal. Yeah, so anyway, I love all the work you're doing and the workshops you're doing. It just sounds so successful, and it's really good to feel that this work is really successfully taking root everywhere. Awesome, and thank you for your commitment.
You are most welcome, and thank you for saying thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
All right, bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. 646-200-4169. If you've got a question, you push 1. You're next in queue. Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up?
No questions, and nobody with a hand up, and we're down to about 7 minutes. So we do have time for one more. So if you're in line, press 1, and you're first up.
And if you're shy, we invite you to just take a breath, let go of your shyness. I know that if Dr. Tim and Jeannie and I had just been on a platform presenting live and you were there and the three of us walked down off the stage, you would walk over to one or two or all three of us and you'd say, Jeannie, how does that work? What does that mean? And so here's the opportunity to ask that question. Push 1. Little hand goes up in the control panel. Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. In the meantime, Jeannie, just to reinforce the whole idea of the women's work that you're doing, I've been hearing, you know, from everybody who was at that intensive that you did last year in Florida, just some of the most awesome feedback. And then last night, the young lady who was at the workshop that you did some work with right there on the spot was just phenomenal. And it's just amazing to watch as you open that space for people and how you nurture people into healing. It's just so cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it is exciting to see how it's coming forward. And we did just have a hand go up. So we have about 6 minutes. Area code 901, you're on the air.
Hi there. It's Memphis again. And
hey, young lady, welcome.
Thank you. The other day, you were talking about mind shifters, and somebody had asked about a mind shifter that you would do around money. And you gave them, I earn twice as much as I can spend. So in light of my scenario that's going on with my favorite aunt, I thought, okay, I'm going to do a mind shifter around this. And I put that down, and I ended up about an hour later with probably 100 different comments and things. So my understanding is that you take each one, Dan, and do a worksheet on each one. Is that how it works?
Yeah, everywhere that you see that you have an issue, you know, I start writing a mind shifter, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. And so maybe the first thought that comes is, you know, our whole family's always been in poverty. Then I do a worksheet where the object of attention, number 1C, is family. And the reality is we've always been in poverty. How do I feel about that? Sad, afraid. Then, with sad and afraid being involved there, I would take one of those and continue the sad on the worksheet I was doing, and I'd transfer that information over to a second worksheet and do a worksheet on sad, because each of those would produce a different healing effect. So now out of that one, I've got two worksheets to do. What's my thought when I'm feeling sad? Oh, you know, life has been so difficult. It's just been such a challenge, might be my thought. And mad might be, you know, what the heck? I see other people with money and abundance, and it's just not fair. Ah, so now that I touch into around money, I feel that there's a lack of unfairness, and this is what we call the Hydra effect. I'd start a third worksheet where I would make the object of attention money, and or it might be the world, and the world isn't fair, would be the reality. What's the feeling? Rage. What's the thought? I'm not getting my share. So, you know, that's the Hydra effect, where when you start looking underneath the surface of an issue, it oftentimes, it doesn't stand there on its own. It's got a lot of legs under it. And as you begin to knock the legs out of one part of the issue, another part, what happens is the whole reality collapses. So that would be an example of how I would proceed anyway with that particular mind shifter. And every time that I see myself with a given issue, there's my next worksheet.
All right. When you just had mentioned, I guess where I kind of, sort of got stuck or I didn't have some clarity is because I have adequate money coming in. I have more than adequate money coming in. However, it has been being illegally confiscated from me. And so
right. Is
my issue that having the two times more, or is, see, I get confused in the fact that I set on a course to accomplish something, and is this simply a ramification of that, to getting to that goal, or is it something, that issue that I have about money, which is creating that? You see what my conflict there is?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. And what I do with it is I'd be working on all of the above. I'd be looking at how my money's being illegally confiscated. So number 1A would be myself. I am love, and I feel, what might the feeling be if my money's being taken from me? I'm feeling anger. And the thought is that I'm being ripped off.
And so I'd
proceed with that as an approach to it. And then on the other hand, I would look at, you know, is this a manifestation of some sort of self-sabotage or, old family programming that we're not allowed to have enough? And so here I am, I go out and I get enough rolling, and then something takes it. And so I'd go from both perspectives and see where it feels valid, see where the feeling says, this is where I need to look.
Okay. I did realize Sunday, I guess it was, that they would, if you're having Dr. Pastor Hunt, who you know, was doing a lesson on money and what we do with it. And I suddenly had an aha, which said, have your money working for you. And this light just went on my head and said, well, can I look at what's being confiscated as that money is working for me for a future reclamation? And so I've been looking at it that way, and I actually had some very interesting release and thoughts about looking at it, that it wasn't being confiscated, it was simply working for me for future benefit. So that was it. And then I found out yesterday that I realized that I'm doing a worksheet around the fact that if I can't pay a bill, I feel guilty because I can't pay the bill. And so I'm working on a worksheet about saying, okay, the money is being confiscated. I don't perceive that I have control over that. I'm taking the steps to stop that. But is my issue not paying? So,
Brenda, we're down to just the last second. So unfortunately, I have to close out the show, but it sounds like you've hit your Hydra worksheet, and it's going off in many different directions, and each one of them will produce a different healing result. In the meantime, we do have to go. Join us in Bristol tonight. Bring somebody to the show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks for joining us. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.